Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have John Blandford and Dan McDonough, part one. We'll see the trailer for Monster Summer and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guests are John Blandford and Dan McDonough from Pastime Pictures. They brought us the film Monster Summer, so we're going to be talking about that and other projects they're working on.
And this is the first of two shows with them, and we're now going to see the trailer for Monster Summer.
Yeah. It's good to have the gang back together again.
Old man Carruthers' property?
I've heard stories about him. Some people think he was a spy, bank robber.
I bet their bodies are buried somewhere on this property.
That's one in.
Where's he there?
What is that?
Teenager is recovering today after nearly drowning.
Hey, Ben.
Something happened to Ben that I can't explain. It's like he's a zombie at a Night of the Living Dead.
You okay, bud?
Oh my.
What are you nuts?
Hey, guys, it's okay. I invited him.
Easy, fella.
This is Gene. He's a detective.
Retired. Well, there's more of you. I'm gonna have to dig a mass grave now.
What? Is out there. If we sit around and do nothing, kids are gonna get hurt, including us.
It came after me, man.
What came after you?
There's definitely something weird going on here. Monsters.
Yeah. You guys ready?
Not us. Who?
Let's do this.
Kids have this vacant look in their eyes. Lights are on, nobody's home. We are overreacting. But it's just kids being kids.
Gene. Gene.
No, I thought I told you.
Gene?
Dan McDonough and John Blandford, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And we're here to talk about your initiative, Pastime Pictures, and some of the things, projects you have going on underneath that. Tell us first a little bit about yourselves, your marriage status, and what's going on there. So,
My name is Dan McDonough. Thank you so much for having me. I am married. I have two lovely young kids, and... I don't know if that's it.
Yeah,
that answers your question. Yeah. I have two kids, 3 and 3.5 months.
Okay.
And, you know, as a company, I really want to shape content that's going to be fruitful for them as they grow up and they navigate the world and they, you know, start to choose what type of things they want to watch. I want to provide good, solid options for them.
And I see that in married men all the time. It's like all of a sudden they have a dog in the fight, right? They have a stake in the culture.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to see that awakening in men.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And John?
I have an 8-month-old son.
Yeah.
And similar to Dan, and as you're suggesting, like filmmaking and the creative space has always been vocational. This is how we both describe it.
Yeah.
It's not a 9-to-5 deal, as you know, here.
Right? Yeah.
Like you're constantly iterating and if you're not physically putting in the hours because you're in, you know, on set, you're creating, right? It's not something that you just turn on and turn off. It's part of who you are, it's part of your DNA.
Yeah.
But to your point, becoming married and now being a father, it really helps focus the intention behind that vocation.
Yeah, exactly.
Towards, you know, impacting the world in their benefit, right?
Yeah.
So under your company, Pastime Pictures, you all have created a movie. You were the producers of Monster Summer, and you had some big name actors in it, and you made a successful film. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
I mean, we are a media-drenched culture, right? And Christianity's got to be in that, right?
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about the movie first, Monster Summer. What really inspired you? Maybe what drives you fundamentally wanting to be there in the movie industry?
Yeah, so Pastime Pictures, we're all about creating stories that can unite people, that can bring people together. And as, you know, both men of faith, we want to tell stories that have great Judeo-Christian values. And Monster Summer really had that. At the end of the day, Monster Summer is a story about good versus evil, pursuing truth even when nobody believes you. And, you know, it's about telling kids that evil exists in the world and you don't need to be scared of it. You can, you have everything inside you right now to defeat it. And, you know, that's really important, not just in the story of Monster Summer, but just all the stories we create at Pastime Pictures.
And the target age you really want to get is like fathers and sons. It's for the family.
It's for the family. I think as fathers, we gravitate towards stories that do really cherish the male relationship. I think we all, as storytellers, find ways of echoing our lived experiences in the stories we're trying to bring our attention to. So I think that is a byproduct of who we are as young men and new husbands and fairly new fathers. So yeah, Monster Summer, there's a beautiful father-son relationship that develops throughout that, where Mel Gibson's character, who lost a son tragically, and the protagonist, Mason Thames, it's his coming of age story, who lost his father at an early age tragically, through this investigation into what's going on in the town, together, they really start to rely on one another and almost heal the missing piece in both of their lives together. Right. Mason gets a strong male role model who exemplifies kind of courage and truth, and Mel starts to see the world anew through kind of the optimistic energy of this young kid, and it kind of stirs in him and wakes him back up. And without giving any details in the story away, as you should see Monster Summer, it propels Mel towards a level of healing in his character as well.
And so it'd be like junior high and up, because it has some intense parts to it.
Monster Summer specifically, it depends on the kid.
It's rated PG-13, but I would say that a kid 8 or 9 is it's safe enough. If it was the 90s, it would probably be closer to PG. So and, you know, the other thing, too, I think that's great for this type of audience that's really going to gravitate towards Monster Summer is, you know, sometimes God chooses people you don't expect. And, you know, the really lead of the film is this young 13-year-old boy. He's driving this initiative. He's driving this investigation. And he's the one that converts this, you know, 65-year-old man who's kind of stuck in his ways to say, hey, wait, I want to look at this a little bit differently. I think that's a beautiful theme in the movie.
And I don't want to give anything away, but I think is an important part for me was we have a witch. It's monsters, right? You have a witch character in this.
Absolutely.
It was kind of a relief to say, okay, we can say witches are evil, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
There's this big confusion in our culture, I think. And I think the Christianity can bring that, too. There's good versus evil, right?
Right, absolutely.
Evil exists, right? And this is the stereotypical kind of witch that they're bad. And I feel like our young people are giving these mixed messages all the time.
Yeah, and I think for us on the creative team, we were really careful to make sure that you didn't glorify the witch. Just from the very beginning, it's evil. And it represents just kind of evil is this like big amalgamation on the island, right? And, you know, and like I said before, like it's about these young people feeling the confidence to go defeat evil on their own, right? Like, you know, one of our battle cries was like, how far would you go to pursue the truth if no one believed you? And like a lot of story decisions were wrapped around that idea. So I think empowering kids with that message is really, you know, is really changing, life-changing.
Well, and just really harping on the fact that evil isn't a relative idea. It's not like a loose concept that you can't quite identify or define, right? It is something that can be identified and called out, and in the case of the story, pursued, right?
I like the courage theme too. And as you get older, you realize maybe at times when you've failed at courage.
Yeah.
And so it's one thing to recognize it. It's another thing to do God's will in all this. What's he calling me to do? And am I going to stand up to that? And that's not just for kids. That's right. In fact, absolutely, it gets more intense, I think, older you get.
Yeah.
Well, I feel the stakes feel like they get higher as you become more of an adult, right? Like you feel like you have more to lose than maybe a kid who's, you know, finding their way in the world and has that fire in their belly still.
Yeah.
But it's important to tell kids, like, that should be encouraged.
Yeah.
Like, that is an example you're setting. And to Dan's point, that's what Mel Gibson's character identifies in Mason's performance, right? In his in his pursuit of evil, is like, I need to help this kid, right? He's not even fully bought in that the evil that this kid is identified is real.
Yeah.
But it's just the tenacity that attracts him, and like the, well, let me just go a little bit further to see if I can help this kid.
Right.
Oh wait, there's more to this. Oh, he might be onto something.
yeah.
Right.
Hold that thought, because we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. We were talking about Monster Summer, and I, one of these most beautiful themes that I think we all love, like the theme of the prodigal son, you know, the father and the son being reunited. There is such an energy there, such a dynamic that just, I just feel like it moves things forward, right? When when the hearts of fathers are turned to their sons and vice versa. And in our culture, you know, with so many fathers out of the home and broken marriages and things like that, that's a big healing that needs to take place in our culture. And just to show, like, a fatherly figure guiding, giving advice, wisdom, you know, direct, that is so, I find that so powerful.
Yeah. I mean, well, what's interesting about the story is Mel has lost his son, and you know, the young character has lost his dad. So they really kind of find each other at this vulnerable moment, and I think that's just really powerful, like that God guides connections and relationships like that. That, you know, you can find somebody at a point where you weren't expecting it, maybe you weren't even looking for it, but you guys kind of, through the process of getting to know each other, you heal each other.
Well, and I think to your point, Father, like, the culture needs men that understand this to step up. And there's a lot of kids out there beyond your own living room that need those kind of role models and those figures. So for me, I already feel inspired by, you know, the presence of my 8-month-old son. It has made me a more dynamic, better man, because I'm constantly thinking about the image I'm presenting to him, even at this early age.
Right.
So I can tell he's absorbing everything like a sponge.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I think there is a need for men to step up in their local societies and have an impact where they can, whether it's coaching or becoming a scout leader or volunteering at a local, you know, Boys and Girls Club, or wherever you can become a positive male presence for kids that are missing that, you know, a church father, like, I think that's important, right? Because there are a lot of kids that didn't choose not to have it, don't have it, right?
And I tell men too, it's like, you know, you're a man, you know, you're a father, but it's in your DNA, you know, you are masculine, right? It's there, it's wired in you,
right?
You know, get connected with God, grow in virtue, you know, you can help people that way. It's in you. And a lot of times they don't feel confident to show up and be that figure, but we need to be called out. What about, I love the fact you all are making movies. It's so big in our culture. We all love a good movie. And to be there with some Christian themes, some wholesomeness, some goodness to it, you know, we need to be there. I mean, a Christian absolutely needs to be there. Talk about what is the greatness of movies. I mean, you're in the business now. You work there.
I think it's one of the main influences on culture, right? I think so much energy is expelled on policy and healthcare trying to fix what's wrong with culture. Mm-hmm. When you can go much further upstream and start to instill messages of goodness into people before those problems even develop, right? Mm-hmm. Before those negative thinking begin to even take hold. Yeah. By like speaking to them when their defenses are down, by presenting, an escape from the world, but in those moments when you have their full attention, if you're making a great film, you earn the opportunity to speak truth to them, right? And it has to be earned. It can't just be like shoved down people's throats. We all know that those movies just don't feel good. They don't taste good going down those messaging. But if you do your good job, and Mel does a really good job of characterizing this with his three E's, entertain, elevate, evangelize. You got to do it in that order, not just hit all three. You got to do it in that order. You got to pass the eye test. We all consume so much content, you know, right away if something was made kind of on a shoestring or by people that don't know what they're doing. Right? So you got to entertain first. You got to elevate by bringing their conscious to a point of where they're ready to receive some message from you that you've earned through your storytelling, your character development. And then you have the opportunity to pass a message on to them that's going to work on them, that works, going to work on their heart, stir their spirit. And that's exactly what we set out to do with Monster Summer. It presents as a coming of age, witch hunt, spooky family film, but there's all these themes that we've been talking about kind of layered throughout it. That's the balance, right?
And how do y'all see the audiences today? What is kind of does entertain them that we have to tap into?
Well, I'd say for us as a company, we're really focused on finding the stories that we can all agree on. And you know, what's really great about that is it's most of the time Judeo-Christian values, stories that are steeped in these values that are timeless. And I think what's beautiful about filmmaking in general is that you can bring a group of people that may not have grown up around each other. They may have a completely different belief system, but we can all come together and enjoy this story together and take something out of it together. And I think that is, to me, that's what drives me. That's the cultural impact that we're making. We can agree on, like, we might disagree on a lot of things, but we can agree right here. There's a Venn diagram that we can all agree on. Let's tell stories that are in that kind of bullseye.
Right. I remember watching the Academy Awards one year and it finally hit me. You know, some people get up there and they'll humble about it. You know, they'll thank people.
Sure.
And I kind of realized you have super talented people coming together, but they don't hit a home run every time. Mm-hmm. It's like they come together and every now and then it really clicks, right? Okay. I mean, it's a hard industry in that sense, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it's the sum of many parts, right? Yeah. Part of what we both love about the filmmaking process is, unlike a lot of different art forms, like if you're a painter, you can do that in your studio, completely shut out from any other influencers, and really just put on the canvas what's in your vision, right? It doesn't work that way in film. You have literally an army of people, and on the professional scale, hundreds of people that are all really good at their specialty coming together to tell this story. And it takes the input and the expertise of all of those people firing on all cylinders to deliver that, exactly what you're saying, that magical moment of like, we did it. Yeah. It all came together. We made a great film. Let's get it out to the world.
They seem like to have a sense that this was a bigger than the sum of the parts, you know, that it came together. And Also, that's a big part of what you want to do, too, is to make a humane environment on set, right? Because it can be ruthless, money-oriented. Talk about that part of it.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about our company is all about uniting audiences, but that's not on the customer-facing side only. That's internally, too. We want people to work on our projects and at the end of it feel very fulfilled and rewarded, and that, you know, they're artistically satisfied with what happened. They were treated well. And I think at the end of the day, when you do that and you create that environment, the end product is much better too.
Yeah.
So that's something we're really passionate about, just leading as, you know, Christian men and leading in that way, that we're driving people towards good, virtuous work conditions and creating good, virtuous content because of that.
Well, and you, I think it's something that seems so intangible, but I do think when you have people that are making something from a point of view of joy and love, just like a really good meal, right? Like you can go through the fast food lane, get your McWhatever Whopper burger, and you know, it kills the cravings, but you don't feel any love in that exchange versus like going to a restaurant or someone's home where like they make everything from scratch and they pour love and affection into every bite that's going to go into your mouth.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a good film, right? Like when the environment is right and everyone is working together and they're pouring love into it, that is perceivable from an audience on the screen.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And when it's not, it's also perceivable.
And you all have paid your dues. You've worked in the industry. You've seen greatness and probably some difficulties. So I'm so excited for you to be out there and making movies. And we're going to do a second show with you to talk about some other projects you have coming out with YouTube. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Father.
I enjoyed our conversation with John and Dan. I'm just so happy these young men are out there with families. They have their own families. They want to help families. They want to do movies and projects that have some values to them, good and evil, and good wins, it triumphs. And kind of reminds you of the 80s a little bit, doesn't it? We seem to be in this kind of relativistic soup, and we seem confused about who the good guy is sometimes.
I know we've joked in the past about sometimes with these older shows, but they make a clear distinction between who the good guy is and the bad guy. There's no ambiguity. Yeah. But I think one of the things that they were talking about that did hit me was, you know, filmmaking as something vocational.
Right.
It's part of the new, really the new evangelization. You know, it's a place where the church, you know, has to explore, because as we know, television, film, all that, it's such a powerful influence on the lives of everybody, not just the young.
Yeah.
And so it's really, again, inspiring to see these two men to go out there both, you know, living their Christian faith and really embracing, too, that aspect of fatherhood and bring it in there as a protector, as somebody that's going to educate and raise up children with, I think, a good sense of right and wrong.
Right. And this film, we should make it clear, you know, it's got some intensity to it. It's not for young people or children, so to speak. But and it's not explicitly evangelizing. I mean, there are some rosaries in the scenes, a couple of things. But it's kind of on the level of the values of goodness, of courage, of this father-son connection. And I love that quote that he said. I think Mel Gibson said it. It was to... we want to entertain, we want to elevate people, you know, point them towards the good, the higher things of life, and to evangelize or educate them. That entertainment part is first, though, because nobody's going to listen to you, unless, even with speaking. I mean, Aristotle said that about any kind of speech. Yeah. It's first is to entertain. You know, you have to capture people's attention. It's got to be a certain quality, a standard today. And they're going after it. They're trying to make quality stuff.
That's one of the biggest struggles, is how do you hold people's, you know, attention, especially in our media, digital consuming minds. Sometimes it's just 5 seconds. And, you know, sometimes you only have 5 seconds to, you know, really kind of pitch and sell what you're trying to provide in a good way out there. So there is, I think, just a fierce competition out there. And again, it takes courage to go out there and say, well, you know, is this film going to work out there? You know, and you have to hear the criticisms too that come with that. But again, I think, you know, if you have that boldness to go out there and make a film for Christ, for goodness, for truth, you know, people will tune in.
Yeah, and the gospel needs art. Mm-hmm. The gospel needs art. We have a great history of painting and sculpture, architecture, beautiful churches. We need to see that concrete expression of gospel values. So we'll send you into the vineyard with a blessing. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless all those viewing and watching this program, that the Holy Spirit may work powerfully in their lives to guide them and to use them to build the kingdom of God. May God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.